Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Thank you for being here. I'd like to turn your attention to Colossians, the first chapter. Verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. What I want you to see tonight is that he created everything that you see, but he also created the invisible things that you haven't seen. There are all kinds of invisible things in this world that we just don't have privilege, but nevertheless, he still created them. Amen. 1 John, the first chapter. Verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So God's invisible, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God, but he has made that invisible God manifested to us, not just for the 33 and a half years that he was on the face of the earth, but he has manifested himself to each and every one of us and made himself visible to each and every one of us. And then if we'll go to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse number 17. And we, as Pentecost, love these scriptures. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the manifestations of God that we refer to all of the time as Pentecost. And in fact, if we don't see those manifestations in our church service, we're thinking God didn't show up. Because we're looking for a manifestation, a visible, something tangible that tells us over and over, God's here, you know? And if for some reason there's no tongues and interpretation, or somebody isn't healed, or somebody isn't filled with the Holy Ghost, or you haven't felt a touch from heaven, sometimes we get the impression, well, maybe God didn't come Wednesday night, you know? But he created the visible, and he also created the invisible. And by faith, we recognize, based on what the Word of God says, that our God is in this place. In fact, there are lines of angels in this place, all over the place, that God created, hand-created, but we can't see them. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the Word this evening, God, that through it, we could draw closer to you, have a better understanding. And Lord, strengthen our faith. Amen. In those things that we can't see. Amen. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Colossians, the apostle or First John, the Apostle John speaks of God Almighty, who they heard with their own ears, who they saw with their own eyes, and who they even had the privilege of handling with their own hands. A time that was a short time in the history of the world, but they had access to God like no one else has ever had access to God. God became very real to people who can hear and see and handle God. 3.5 years, thousands of people were able to hear, see, and handle Jesus Christ. And yet at the very end, even those who experienced the tangible, the physical, God didn't believe. And even after his resurrection, he appeared to many people for 40 days, and yet still there were so many who could not believe. Luke records that the apostles were huddled together in a locked room, and suddenly Jesus appeared unto them, appeared unto them, not just felt his presence, not just a wind blowing through a room, but he walked through a wall, and there he was. Anybody ever had that happen? No, we haven't had that kind of manifestation of God in our lives. Here are men who were able to see Jesus and handle him, yet believed not for the joy and for the wonder. And you know the story. Thomas wasn't with them when the Lord appeared to them. And that's why it's so important to come to church. Amen. Some great manifestation could happen on a Wednesday night. And where were you? Does Jesus have to come back? But he did. He came back just because of one who wouldn't believe. He wouldn't believe unless he touched the nail prints in his hand and put his hand in his side. Then, but Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. We have a greater blessing because we believe in the invisible and not the tangible. Thank God there isn't a piece of cross. Thank God there isn't a part of his robe, a shroud, or anything of that nature, because people would start to worship the wood, worship the cloth, worship the sandals, and not worship the invisible God. So God had to make a special trip for Thomas, and Thomas then said, oh, my Lord and my God, my supreme being, you are the one. I believe you now because of this physical manifestation. Jesus said to Thomas, because thou hast not seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. That is us. That's you and I. The word blessed here in the Greek means supremely blessed, fortunate, and well off, and we are. One nice thing about the time in which we are living, we don't have to travel to find Jesus because Jesus travels to find us. In fact, you don't have to go any further than just look inside of you because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, we have a greater blessing because we believe without seeing. You need to completely understand what that means to us. We have greater access, greater opportunity than the apostles had, even though they were living with him on a daily basis, eating with him. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And the Bible also says in that chapter that the angels desire to look into the things that we have offered to us. Why? Because they're greater, because we're believing in an invisible God where angels see God all of the time. It doesn't take much faith as an angel to believe in heaven or to believe in Jesus. There is a greater power in here tonight because Jesus is in the spirit and not in the flesh. At any point in this service, you can have complete access to God. In fact, at any point in your day or night. You have complete access to God. You don't have to tear off a roof. You don't have to fight the crowds. You can just simply wake up and say, Jesus, I need you right now. And we have full and complete access. The curtain has been ripped from top to bottom. And we're not looking for a God in a box anymore. We're looking for a God that comes to those that he loves. Hallelujah. And even though we can't see him, we can handle him and we can feel his presence. And some of the greatest times that I've ever had with God is when I haven't been worshiping God, when I haven't been praying, when I'm simply walking down the street or walking in a store and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God and what he's saying is, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not begging you for anything. I'm not giving you worship. But he's saying, I love you. That's the kind of God that I want to serve. Don't let your faith be limited by your lack of sight. Amen. We can get to the place where just because we don't see, well, the manifestation through the gifts of the Spirit in operation or, you know, a great move of God on a song service, that somehow we think, well, that service wasn't as great as the same God is still in the same place. He's still just as great. He's still just as capable of doing whatever you need. Just because the band isn't playing, just because the clowns aren't walking down the aisles, it doesn't mean he's not here. Hallelujah. You know, we have this tendency to start evaluating services based on what somebody did in the service. I mean, last Wednesday, we had a message in tongues and interpretation that shook me right down to my socks. It was so powerful. Do you know your enemy? And who are you hugging? And who do you allow into your life, even though they have false doctrine? And there's no question, God was speaking to us about a certain area of our lives, and that's so great. But if he doesn't speak to us, is he still so great? Amen. It has always been difficult for us visible beings to accept invisible things. We live in a tangible world of concrete and material objects, and we humans represent everything that is seen and is natural, while God represents everything that is invisible and spiritual. And so the two worlds have to collide at one point or another, and we have to touch down into the invisible world, and God has to touch down into a tangible world that we are now living in. And we have to live in this world, but there's going to be a time when we're going to cross over into the invisible world, and God is going to open our eyes and our understanding to some of the invisible things that are happening in this world, and it is just going to, maybe our mind just isn't developed enough in order to see the things that God has made in the invisible world. We are visible and God is invisible, so we have a tendency to always believe what is seen and not that we can't see. We don't worship dead saints. I guess that could go a couple of different ways. Moses represented God to the children of Israel, and when he was gone on Mount Sinai to talk with God, the people decided that they needed something visible. And so they took all of their earrings and all of their gold, all of the stuff that they got from the Egyptians, because when they left, the Egyptians sent all kinds of valuable gold and silver. And it was so miraculous. They just threw it in the fire, and a calf came right out of that fire, you know? It's just amazing, just amazing. But it was visible, and they thought, finally, we got something we can see that we can, you know? I love this church. But this church isn't God. This is just a place that God's people gather, you know. And so we don't worship our stained glass windows. We don't worship our carpeting and all the beautiful things that are in the church. Even Moses came to the conclusion that, God, I need to see you. Amen. Here he is on the mount with God. You know, his face is glowing, and he said, Lord, show me your glory. And that is why we today are so insistent to see the signs, wonders, and miracles, because we just want to be reassured that God is still alive and he's still involved in our life, you see, because it is a manifestation of an invisible God that moves within our congregation. No other denomination demands that kind of movement or manifestation of God, because they don't even understand that it exists. But we, who have been privileged to get into that invisible world, once we've had a taste of that, we say, God, we want more of your movement. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. Glory to God. And that's a good thing, you know? Come on, God. Do your thing in here. We did our little thing. Now you do your little thing in here. You see, because that's just the way we are, a bunch of Thomases. Amen. The Corinthians were very interested in the gifts of the Spirit because they are about as tangible as God can get. But before Paul gave them understanding concerning the demonstration of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, he said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away onto these dumb idols even as ye were led. So he's saying, you know, you want me to tell you about the gifts of the Spirit, and they really weren't in check in the church at Corinth. But he's saying, you know why? Because you were carried away with these dumb idols. You had an idol for this, and you had an idol for that. You had something tangible. Show me, you know? It's like we're all from Missouri. Now, how could an intelligent person worship pieces of stone and lifeless metal? But it seems like it's easier for somebody to worship something that's tangible rather than something that's invisible. And when we were in Rome and went to the Vatican, there are all of these statues of saints that you talk about a palatial. I mean, they had mosaics on the walls that looked like oil painting. They were just fabulous. And Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel, and it was just a masterpiece. They had a full-size bronze cast of Peter. I don't know how they did that, but they got it. And it stood on a pedestal about this high, and the right toe of Peter in his sandals was only about that thick, because people were kissing that toe and wore down that bronze toe to be, well, why? Because they could grab a hold of something tangible and felt like I went home and I touched part of what God is. And we can't get to that place, Pentecostals. As much as we want a demonstration of God's Spirit and a manifestation of His works in our church, we can't evaluate based on what God does in one service comparison to another. Oh, should have been there Sunday night. Wow, it was incredible. Why? Same God. Amen. Now, Satan knows the limited range of our perception, and he knows that anything beyond the visible presents great difficulty for us. We read about heaven, and we even have a description of heaven, but no one's been there and come back. And some would think that maybe it's a fictitious description of something that we'll never get to. But that's where our faith comes in. I said it in a Bible study last night when the brothers of the quadruple believe it came through the roof, tore off the roof in order to have them touch the brother. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, you see, faith is tangible when we put our faith into action. That's when it becomes visible to God. We can simply pray for something, but then we don't take steps to do it or believe that God is going to do it. Well, then that faith is invisible. It becomes tangible when we take steps in order to see that faith realized. And so the devil knows the range of our perception, and he knows that anything beyond the visible presents difficulty. He also knows that he cannot destroy our knowledge of God, but he often redirects our focus on things that are shiny and gets our attention.
Right.
You know, we're all a bunch of first graders in arithmetic class, and the teacher is trying to give us some of the simple principles of the Word of God, but as a first grader, if there's something going on over here, all of a sudden, you know, we're walking this way in order to see the shiny object. And it's just a part of who we are. There are lots of shiny objects in our church services that can distract us from God. You know, is that a new dress? Really, it's nice, you know? So then your pathway goes to, I wonder where she got that. Is it on sale? He's wearing his hair up to, no, it would be. We have a tendency to look at people and say, oh, you know, where have they been? I haven't seen them for a while, you know, and then all of a sudden we're off in a different direction because of a shiny object, and we have to stay focused, if you understand. We can be entertained by people who worship around us. And we can be focused on a song service, focused on the volume and the velocity of the song, and miss God altogether. And you know, everybody ought to have a freedom to worship, but not to the point where every focus is on that individual because of that freedom, you see. Especially if they're wondering, are people looking at me? I do not want to be a distraction to anybody else's worship within the church. Amen. Hallelujah. We are an orchestra. And there isn't one instrument that stands out from all of the other instruments. We're all supposed to blend together to make a beautiful sound to God without anybody being outstanding. You know, if I didn't have to stand up here, I wouldn't be up here, because I don't need the recognition. I need to give you the Word of God, and that's what the evangelist does, or the missionary, whoever stands up here, and it's a necessity in order to do that, but it isn't because one person is greater than another person. It's just the job or the task that they have been given, the position that God has given them. We could forget that God is the sole object of our worship. God never meant for us to worship our worship.
Amen.
You know, man, you should come to our church. We have some kind of worship, you know. I mean, everybody comes up to the front, and there's a freedom that we have. That's not witnessing. You ought to come to our church because there is a God there that can help you, and you can literally feel his touch. You see, we could worship our choir. We could worship our instruments. We could, you know, we can get to the place where we witness about us rather than worship about him. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I hope you understand what I'm saying. No one promotes worship more than I do, but Jesus is the object of everything that we worship, you know. He needs to get the glory, not us. I also believe that we should be singing songs that no other denomination can sing. I think we ought to sing about the oneness. We ought to sing about the blood. We ought to sing about baptism in Jesus' name. I know it was the blood. Hallelujah. Nobody else can sing that because they don't even believe it. We have songs that really, really touch people. We rejoice over miracles and healings in the church every week, but our focus can't be on the gifts. It must be on the gift giver. Hallelujah. We are all familiar with Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow is what God produces because of his presence. You see. And so if you get close enough to God, that means you abide under the shadow of God. But if you don't get close enough, you'll never abide under the shadow of God. It is the tangible, the visible of an invisible God. But it is our nature to want to worship that which we can see. But the shadow of the Almighty is where we abide, not what we worship. So we don't worship the things that God produces. We worship God who has produced the gifts of the Spirit, the healings, the miraculous, the Shekinah glory of God that sets the hair on the back of our neck and the tears that stream down. We don't worship the shadow. We don't worship even the feeling. We worship the God that allowed us to have the feelings that we have. We can't live in the shadow. We live in his presence. Amen. We live in the knowledge of who he is. Amen. Because we have so many denominations that don't have an understanding of what we are exposed to. So many people who have no idea who Jesus is. I talked to my wife this morning. We have... I guess, flyers from all of our foreign missions that come to us once a month, and I review them, revival in Bolivia and all this. But, you know, and one was from Brother Novaki from France, and they have the largest church in France, not too far out of Paris, and I preach for Brother Novaki, and it can't compare to the size of our church. And to think of all of the whole of Europe, you know, that's the largest church when we have this great truth of the mighty God in Jesus. I'm saying, my Lord, there has got to be a great revival right around the corner where millions and millions of people come to the realization of a tangible God rather than going week after week with nothing that is tangible within their presence. Hallelujah. And because we have so many demonstrations of God's Spirit in our church, we can get accustomed to looking for the shadow instead of looking for the Almighty. For example, the Israelites focused on the Ark of the Covenant so much that they forgot it was only a symbol of God's presence. And so they started to worship the Ark of the Covenant rather than the God who gave them the Ark of the Covenant and not the reality of God's presence. In 1 Samuel, Israel is being defeated by the Philistines. And in 1 Samuel 4 and 3, it says, "Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies." Verse number 5 says, "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again, yet all of the army of Israel was smitten. 30,000 people died." Why? Because their focus was on the shadow and not on God. Instead of focusing on God himself as their deliverer, the church can't save us. Can't. But the church is the shadow of what God is. And we need to be a part of that shadow or a part of the church so we can look to the church for all of the needs and all of the successes. It's where God abides, but it is not meant to be the substitute for God. Where there are certain religions who say you can't get saved unless you're in our church. No, it's not about in our church. It's where we get our vitality. It's where we get our nourishment. It's where we hear the preaching of God's word, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. It is where the people of God will pray for you, and it's a necessity, but it isn't the church that saved us. It's the Lord Jesus that has saved us, you see. The ministry in your pastor is a shadow of what God represents. And in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says that there are gifts that are given to the church, and the pastor, evangelist, prophets, and teachers are all a part of those gifts, but you must go to God to get what you need, not go to the evangelist, not go to the pastor all the times. Yes, he's there for direction and comfort, but it's God. He's the only one who can distribute what you really need. If we turn from the shadow of God, we will be face to face with God. And what I have been trying to say is this: every time there is a manifestation of God in our lives, we are face to face with God. And that's why we have such a great desire to see a manifestation of something tangible within our midst, because we want a reassurance that God is right. Let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I will never doubt. You surely brought me out. Let me feel your spirit one more time. And God is so gracious to allow us to feel his presence. And it doesn't even have to be in a song service. It could be in the middle of the night. It could be in your car. And we've all experienced that, because he is a tangible God in an invisible world. Hallelujah. Moses said to the people in Deuteronomy 5 and 4, "The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire." Yes, we have seen God face to face. Well, when have we seen God face to face? Every miracle, every healing, every move of God, every touch of his spirit, we have been face to face, where there are so many who have been afar off, and God has not allowed them to have that manifestation. And I guess I am just so grateful. I am just so grateful that God is so personal in each and every one of our lives that we can feel that. Moses said, "Let me see your glory." And we are so far beyond where Moses was, because when we ask the question, God can just flood us with his presence and his spirit. He can heal us in a second. Amen. He's sovereign. He's God. Amen. And what we have to understand is, even though we don't feel him, he's still sovereign. He's still God. He still loves us, you see. We cannot evaluate God based on feelings or based on manifestations or based on healings or miracles that we have in our life. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you to the end of the earth." And so God wrote it down. God made the promise. You don't ever have to worry about that. And so I just don't want to get to the place where we're worshiping the Ark of the Covenant and not the God of the Ark of the Covenant, where we're worshiping something that's supposed to happen and we feel like we're a failure because we didn't produce enough in order for God to do something within our midst. Because that's not the way it works, folks. Some of the closest times that I've been with God, I haven't felt his presence at all. And I know he's been there. Some of the best times I've had with God was just opening up the word of God and knowing I've got a situation in my life and he has answered it so clearly through the word of God, and I didn't feel a thing. It was a manifestation of God through his word, you see. So that's what we need to understand. We need to recognize these shadows as our Jesus and worship him for revealing himself to us from time to time. And ladies, when you bring that new baby home, like sitting over there and sitting over here, constantly holding that baby, constantly, you know? I'm not letting him go. I'm not. But there comes a time you better let that baby go, you know? Because there's a time where that child has got to walk on its own. There's a time when they have to leave the house on their own in order to get on the bus or do something else. Because if they don't, well, they're not going to mature like they're supposed to. Babies are supposed to be held. And when we first come into the church, you can hardly turn around or breathe a breath when you're not feeling the presence of God. But then all of a sudden, when you get down the road, maybe you're in the church for a year or a half a year even, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, no hands on. Well, God's saying, come on, mature. Understand what the word of God says. You know, get a little deeper. Get on the bus by yourself. Amen. You know? Amen. I don't have to direct your every step. You should be mature enough now in order to do these things without some kind of lightning that comes down from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, 11, Paul says it this way. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. There's going to come a time, oh Lord, it's not just going to be an occasional manifestation. It's going to be face to face with our Jesus. And I wonder, you know, we've often thought about it. My wife and I have talked about it. When we get to heaven, will we have a complete understanding of what has happened in our entire life and why it has happened? We don't have the answers now, but once we step over the threshold, all of a sudden, we have an understanding of, okay, now I understand, God. Thank you for taking care of that situation the way you took care of it, you see. Hallelujah. One day, please, don't ever get to the place where you start to question God as to why'd you do that. He has our interests at heart. He wouldn't allow anything to happen to us except for our good, for our maturity. Amen. Until then, let us focus on the invisible, and then God will become the tangible reality to each and every one of us. Amen. I tell you, I want that feeling. I want it. I want God to perform in my life, you know. But if he doesn't, I still know he's on the throne. I still know he loves me. I know he can take care of my situation for me. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? There's a very old story about the four-year-old boy who's at home. He's in his bedroom. His mother and dad are up in their bedroom. It's late at night. There's a bad thunderstorm, lightning storm, and it shakes the house, and the boy becomes so frightened that he gets out of his bed, runs up to his parents' bed, and dives in between the two of them, And the father is a little shocked that he's there and said, you know, Johnny, you don't have to be afraid. God is always with you. And he said this, tonight, I'd like to have someone with skin on. Because it's something that I could touch. Now, if you really want a manifestation of God, it's very easy every time you come into church service. All you have to do is reach out and touch somebody in this church, because it's God with skin on. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we need to take full advantage of the skin that's in this place. The comfort that comes from the body. He's left the body here. He's left his body here. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we need to comfort one another. We go through things, and thank God for saints. His arms are around us, folks. Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?